This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Blacklist After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Blacklist After Show.
Sing it, Joe.
This is the band Perry, Joe.
Big hit, the band Perry.
This is all about whether or not Tom might have conceivably, I don't know,
lied.
He might have lied.
Like a Persian rug on a rich man's floor.
He might have lied like a Persian man, a Persian rug on a rich man's floor.
Get it. Welcome to the Blacklist After Show.
He lied like a Persian man on a rich rug floor. What?
There it is.
I don't know.
Joe learns to talk. Welcome to the Blacklist After Buzz After Show. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined across the way by my man, Maine. I can't even talk either. What happened to you?
Persian lie, man, flug roar.
All right. I'm joined by my main man, Uncle Flippo.
Oh! I love that I was the instrument of his demise.
Uncle Flippo the Hippo.
I want an Uncle Flippo toy.
You should get it.
Am I going to get that?
Easy. NBC store.
Do you think they got it?
Of course they have it.
Oh, I'm definitely going to get that.
Times Square.
I'm not going to Times Square to get it.
Not Times Square. 30 Rock.
30 Rock. No, I'm not going to go to... They got to have it out here. There's an NBC studio out here.
This is riveting radio.
Yeah.
I'm joined by Joe Sanfilippo. Joe, how are you?
I'm living the dream, Joe. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. We're not joined by Nanda Velasquez, who did not make it today. We're also not joined by the lovely Julia Kearley, who is doing some acting. Good for her. But it's just the two Joes, the Joe Show.
It's the Joe Show. It's the Joe Show.
So we have the Blacklist, episode 17. We're taking them away, huh?
We're rocketing.
We're on a bullet train at 22. We're in the home stretch here.
We got this. We can do this.
Episode 17, Ivan, number 88 on the Blacklist, who was a bit of a red herring because Ivan wasn't actually the Blacklister we were after. We were really after a young kid named Harrison Lee, but we'll get to that later.
Yes.
Yes, we will. So this episode had a lot going on here. We had the A story of the skeleton key.
I just want to go on record as having said, I don't like the idea of them creating things that can do full blackouts like that. It just seems to me that's a really bad idea.
Yeah. It's one of those things that, like, is sort of based in reality because this technology
can theoretically exist.
Elements of this hacking, of the way these hacking. And I'm a big critic of movie hacking. I think this is the funniest thing in the world. You have the whole, like, hold on.
No.
Firewall.
Yeah.
I'm into the Pentagon.
They do it from a laptop, and it takes them 30 seconds. And it's always like, I must not type right, because the way I do it...
Just hacked into Air Force One.
And
I fired
blew
the
it
missile.
Up. Yeah, done.
Yeah, like that's...
It's unbelievable.
The movie hacking is funny to me, but this seemed pretty, you know, fairly realistic in terms of, you know, hacking goes. And until they get to the whole skeleton key thing, which we'll get to, and my man's walking around on his iPad, like, you know, boop, beep, boop.
Train.
Beep. Train's off. Lights on. Texty. I have the whole world on my iPad.
Done and done.
A Washington, D.C., the most secure city in the world. Black it out. Like a skeleton
done.
Key. I'm in high school.
I got to tell you, I'm going to tell my daughters, if you ever sneak out of the house because someone sends you a text and they're able to light street lights on and off.
Yes.
When you get to the subway, it's probably time to turn around and go home.
I didn't think that was our homegirl doing that. How are you doing this?
It's just me. Come down the stairs. Okay, I guess it's really weird that you would have this kind of power, but okay.
That was a bit of a commentary on, you know, sort of, you know, the millennials and texting, and no one picks up the phone. No one asks any questions. It's
yeah.
just like, oh, okay, yeah, it's you, my friend. Let's go. you obviously are who you say you are.
Who else could you be?
The whole city's blacked out, but, you know, sure, let's do it.
Let's take a walk.
So yeah, so let's back up. So interesting episode. That was sort of the A story, which I thought was the B story, because the A story was really our girl Lizzie Keene going down this rabbit hole and finding out more about Jolene, aka Lucy Brooks. Ultimately more about Tom.
Yeah, it did not end well for our boy Tom.
No. I don't think I got a proper chance to gloat because I was gone last week and I didn't really get a proper chance to gloat how right I was about Tom being dirty. Like,
you know what?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
That's a fair point.
From day one, I'm like, Tom's dirty.
You never had a question.
Oh, the sweater. He's so dreamy.
And I was all over the map. I was up. I was down.
I don't want to wait. You're doing your thing. And Nando was, well, when he was here, he was saying whatever he was saying. But I was the one who held fast.
You steadfastly. You are resolute in your belief.
And I said that Red has never lied. And as Red said tonight, or last night, he's never lied. And so I believed him. And that's
and see, I have a problem with this never lied thing because...
Oh.
Because he's never lied, but he told her he wasn't her dad. But he got the thingy dingy going. And
dude, he's not her dad.
This is... I don't know.
What? This is ridiculous.
How? How many hows can I throw in there? How can he not be her dad?
Because it's too obvious. Like, from the pilot, it's like he shows up. Everyone's like, oh, he's her dad. Like, they can't string us out.
You know what I think?
I
think it's going to be an Empire Strikes Back, Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's not your father from a certain point of view. You know, we're correct from a certain point of view.
Is that your Sir Alec Guinness?
It's terrible.
Man.
It's terrible. But I think that's where we're going to land is, you know, it's going to be a certain point of view thing. Well, I mean, technically, I'm your father biological, but he raised you, so he's more your father. I think that's where we're going to land because he's playing the music box and he's telling her everything's okay. Come on.
I think he just knew it was her father. We'll talk about that.
But you were correct about Tom. You never wavered and gloat.
And also, I'm never wavering from the fact that Red is not her father.
Whatever.
So I'm just holding him fast to that.
Whatever.
Twitter disagrees with me slightly. YouTube slightly disagrees with me as well. But you know what?
Well, Twitter and YouTube might be slightly right right now. How about that? Slightly.
Let's get into this episode. So we have this kind of a weird opening scene, which was pretty cool, and we see the masked hacker, you know, hacking to this NSA special NSA black site.
Yeah, I did not enjoy that they could deploy an airbag.
Yeah,
apropos of nothing.
Well, I mean, you know, it's a little OnStar technology there. You know,
it was a Ford though. Can you do it? I don't know how it works. I mean, it's probably not an OnStar thing. It's a car thing, but. That terrified me.
It is terrifying because I don't know how that works either. But apparently you can deploy a bag now. I do know, like, you have the OnStar technology.
I do. In a couple of my cars.
Both of your cars.
Yeah.
One of your mini cars.
Yeah.
that scares the crap out of me.
It is terrifying. Yeah. Like, you could really blow up my face.
Yeah.
Have you ever been hit with an airbag? It feels like the world is ending because they load them with gunpowder, or at least they used to. I don't know if they do it differently now, but you get burns on your arms and they blow up in your face. It feels like the world is ending. It's crazy.
His world ended because he didn't make it. His world actually did end. So I'm sure it felt like that for him. So he's able to go and steal a prototype for the skeleton key. They go and they meaning the FBI folks, go and check it out only after Red calls Lizzie in. To talk about how big of a deal this is.
And yeah.
She doesn't understand why he's working on this big elaborate thing, which we now know as a music box. You know, they have a little conversation, a little fun conversation, but Red basically tells her that this guy's a bad guy.
Those are moments as a grown man where I go, I am missing something in my life because there is not a chance that you will ever find me tinkering with a music box. I mean, I will have an appreciation for them, but you're not going to find me putting on a little leather apron and actually tinkering with one because that or you know the guys who build the ships in a bottle
or the guys who do the snow globes.
Ooh,
yeah,
but rough, mean spirited.
I won't put you on blast right now.
Yeah, I think you just did.
Oh well, not people don't know what that means. anyway, so there's that. And you know, Red's cultured. And look, he's a cultured cat. Like, he likes a fine wine. He likes a good meal. He likes, some Swan Lake by himself. You know,
command performance from the good people at the ballot.
In your mind, that's Lizzie, you know, doing Swan Lake, but.
somebody else. Fine, it's somebody else. I don't know who it is.
You know.
Well, you thought it was Jolene, didn't you, for a hot minute?
I did.
So there you go.
But I was wrong about that.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I still could be right, but that's it. He's not really grieving.
Alpha Casual looking down the hole at if Jolene was his daughter.
Right.
Yeah,
let's get
is.
To that. I did like the appearance of Mr. Kaplan. I love that Mr. Kaplan.
Oh, she's terrific.
And, you know, I'd watch a whole show with Mr. Kaplan.
Another web series.
A web series. Well, I need a web series of Mr. Kaplan and Dembe.
Just the mini adventures of Kaplan and Dembe.
Yeah.
Kaplan and Dembe.
Or Kaplan and my man with the hat. Who didn't make it?
Oh, the Cadillac Cowboy.
Cadillac Cowboy.
He's gonzo, man. He didn't make it.
Yeah, he didn't make it. But, man, a web series with Cadillac Cowboy and Mr. Kaplan. So Mr. Kaplan located the bodies before we see, you know, Dembe and located the bodies that were presumably the ones that Tom buried 8 days ago, mm-hmm. according to her. And, I mean, Red's playing this whole thing pretty close to the vest. I don't think we as the audience really know where he's coming from on this. I mean, he was very vague about his... You know, what he was looking for with the Cadillac Cowboy, you know, when he's talking to him about pick up Jolene, don't, I'm looking to, I want to see how this played out. It's already played out. We know that he knows Tom is not who he says he is, but he doesn't seem to think Tom is enough of a threat to warn Lizzie or pull her out. I mean, it's a weird thing.
Well,
because I'm not sure if Tom, and we're not really clear if Tom is a threat, like he's there to kill her, or if he's there to watch her, or if he's there to, you know, infiltrate. I mean, we don't know what Tom's real motive is.
Well, my presumption is this. Lizzie's nobody without Red.
Right.
I mean, she really isn't. Unless there's something about Lizzie we don't know.
No, she was just a, you know, hotshot, you know, recruit.
That's it.
That's it.
Among dozens of hotshot recruits.
Right.
For the FBI, presumably, at Quantico. So, I mean, to me, it doesn't seem like Lizzie's enough of anybody for them to stick someone on her to marry her 2 years, you know, underground, the whole nine yards. So, it is my presumption that they knew, whoever they are, about Red's relationship to Lizzie, whatever that may or may not be, father, not father, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi notwithstanding. We're not sure where that relationship lands. So if, my presumption again is that if Red is related to Liz or connected to Liz in a strong enough way, these people knew about it. So Tom is there for Red, not for Lizzie.
Right.
That would be my two cents.
Right. But but the appearance of Tom so predates Red turning in himself that is like that's a weird thing. In other words, they had to like meet, he had to be planted, meet, court her,
totally.
Woo her, marry her.
Totally.
Move in with her, live with her, and then Red shows up to turn himself in.
Which again, to me, says that all this has been going on longer than we know about. And you know, Red's been 20 years underground. So whatever this organization is in Berlin, they knew about Red and they knew about Lizzie before Red turned himself in.
Well, I'm not sure they're in Berlin. I think it's just
Berlin,
the code name, or Berlin is the headquarters or whatever it is, or the organization. Maybe Berlin's an acronym.
Or it might just be the band. Maybe this whole thing is about the band.
On the Metro.
Yeah, you never know.
Yes, anyway, we digress again. So I don't know. I'm not so sure. I mean, I did say Tom's dirty and Tom is dirty, but I'm still not sure of his exact motives. But whatever his motives were, there were enough to kill. He's definitely not good, because he killed Jolene and he killed
the
Cadillac Cowboy, but he still is not. I mean, we don't know what his orders are to watch. He's still there watching Lizzie, and we don't know who the Apple Man who put all the cameras in his house, which had nothing to do with Tom.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot going on here that we still have to find out. Hopefully, this season in these last sort of four episodes.
I have a prediction. We're not going to find it all out
in five episodes.
No chance.
All right.
I wouldn't wrap it up that good. I gotta have some stuff for us to come back for next season.
Well, we can have a launch into a whole nother. We can wrap it up and then ask a whole bunch of new questions in the season finale.
I could do that,
and then do that. That's how
they've been known to do that.
Who's they?
The, you know, the TV people.
TV people.
You know, TV.
You know, TV. They do that. So that's that. So then, so we're kind of we have that visit from the police officer sort of asking questions about Jolene and we see Lizzie's antenna go up. And I gotta say, you know, Lizzie did some great detective work in this one. I mean, I was wondering, like, and then if she doesn't really figure this thing out or sort of use her instincts to really get to the bottom of this by the end of this episode, I am out.
Because that's it. Like, how many times? Yeah.
She is the worst FBI agent. We've done so many FBI WTFs, but this would be it. And I'm so glad they made her credible enough to sort of like follow up on these leads, do everything, look at everything, and then be able to say, okay. I mean, And you don't have the world thought to sort of like keep looking, keep digging, because she knew something was off. Like something's not right.
Right.
She couldn't figure out what it is and why is this woman around. And now once he saw the lair with all the, you know, the high grade security surveillance stuff and the weapons and all the, you know, all the stuff that was in there, this wasn't like just some, you know, dime store robber. This was like a high level special ops woman, highly trained person. So, you know, well, you know, it's Tom, but you know, so it's like that's even scarier. I don't know, man. It's interesting. I'm also just very intrigued by the notion of what will happen next with how Lizzie will then, because it seems we'll have some, and the next episode we'll see, it seems we have Lizzie sort of like wanting to use Tom and find out what he's up to, and so
yeah,
like, and so turn the tables on him, and then we'll have that cat and mouse. But I don't know. Oh, there it is. I don't know. So anyway, let's.
It was interesting. That scene was to me. I don't know. You know, I don't know why you call your husband when you're doing an investigation. You call your husband who teaches. Was he in elementary
fourth
school?
Grade.
Yeah. I don't know why you call him, but that made for some good drama though. That scene was interesting.
Yeah.
I thought that was, you know,
like, hey, I'm about to go into this weird address.
1826? B 1826? That's
just
funny.
Just so you know. He's like, oh, really? No.
I've never heard of it. Hold on, I'm losing you. Oh.
Yeah, that was cool. That was cool. That was a cool sequence. And, I also find it hard to believe, although they played it pretty well, that, like, Lizzie just doesn't recognize. I mean, if Aaron did a move on you and cratted you in the face and then turn it off and run, you would be like, Aaron! I mean, even obstructed, like, you know what your wife looks like. Like,
smells like, even, would be,
yeah,
a thing. Like, you recognize the smell of your spouse.
I don't know. I find that a little...
It's a little hard to buy.
A little hard to buy.
But, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe if you're a spy, maybe you put on different cologne when you leave the house. Maybe put on some different... I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I've never been a spy. But I, you know... It's always interesting to me because, you know, we always want to believe that in my relationship, I'd know, but maybe you wouldn't. I mean, you know,
right.
It's such a tiny number of people that have had, been married to spies and not know it. I would imagine that you probably don't know.
Yeah. Well, so I do also love this whole new dynamic, this new Tom. Now that we know, now that we as the audience know, it's very reminiscent of Hannibal, how we, the audience, know that Hannibal's Hannibal and we can, you know, it's good storytelling because we're like rooting, no, don't go in there, Hannibal's in there. But the characters don't know, and I love the idea of, you know, at least for this episode, Lizzie not knowing Tom is Tom. So we had a lot of fun moments where he's sort of like coming behind her and like, you know, putting his hand on her shoulder, and
right,
you know, and
for
like,
us it's she
comes in and he's chopping up vegetables, making some dinner, honey. What happened there? Chop, chop, chop. You know, like, it's that, all that stuff is so menacing. Whereas like 2 weeks ago, Julie would be like, he's so sweet making your dinner. And now I'm sure this week she's like, oh my God, he's got a knife.
No, it changes. Yeah. It changes it for the better. I think
yeah,
it makes the show much more interesting.
Yeah. So that was, I mean, I wish there was more of that, you know, in terms of like, for us, the audience, but.
Oh, there will be next week.
We will get, because we know that Lizzie knows and we know that Tom, you know, Tom. So we'll get them interacting together. It kind of reminds me of that one moment of Mr. and Mrs. Smith when they kind of know each other's,
yeah,
you know, trying to kill each other, but neither can tell each other. And that was kind of
one of the most underrated movies. Such a brilliant movie.
I love that movie.
Oh.
Anyway, you know who doesn't love that movie?
Jennifer Aniston. I know.
All right, we digress again. So anyway, I'm glossing over it, but we do get the long, sort of step by step, you know, Lizzie figuring out that the Lucy Jolene is Lucy Brooks, and then Lucy Brooks is going deeper and deeper. What I don't understand, Joe Sanfilippo, is,
tell me, Joe Braswell,
what is, how come Red is not telling her more? Like, I don't, well, what is Red, why when, you know, she comes, you, to Red, you, and you goes, can, hey, can, I, Lucy Brooks,
well,
have
hold
heard
on.
Of her? She's,
you,
like, no.
You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
But this isn't like Star Wars. This isn't like,
no, but it's, he tried.
He's not Obi-Wan,
I think,
Kenobi.
No,
this,
no,
isn't,
no,
some,
no,
like, he's like Yoda.
He's changing.
He's Red Reddington.
He's changing tactics. Because he tried to tell her, hey, he's not who you think. And she responded violently. You remember?
Okay, yeah.
I just met you. Who the hell are you? That's my husband. He's,
right,
been my rock for blah, blah, blah. back up. I don't know you. You're a criminal. You come in here and you're manipulating me, and I, you know, you try and build trust with me, and you're telling me my husband's no good, and who the hell are you? And so he tried the more blunt approach. So now he's got this. I think he's in a position where he's got to like lead her to it. He's gonna like, you got to figure it out. I can't. If I tell you, you're not gonna believe me anyway. So you got to figure it all out. Then you can come talk to me.
But even at the point when she's like, "Yo, Red, I know this girl. Her name is Lucy Brooks." He's like, "Yeah, never heard of her." Like, why did you just say, "Yeah, finally"? I was waiting for you to finally figure this out. Lucy Brooks is, you know. But no, that's not what happened.
Well, so. I think, you know, if someone tells you fire's hot, you know intellectually then fire is hot. Mm-hmm. But once you've stuck your hand in the fire and you burned it, now you know viscerally and physically that fire is hot. And it's a different kind of lesson. And I think he had to let her go that way because with separating a husband and a wife for a woman who has no, she has no family, she has no other infrastructure, Tom is it.
Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
This is our new segment called Theories.
Theories.
What's your theory? What is Red's relationship to Lucy Brooks? Like, we knew earlier that he was looking her up in the ViCap, and we've seen the Lucy Brooks Jolene character over the course of like 8 episodes, and now from the moment she was introduced, you know, with her looking her with him looking her up,
right,
all the way to now. Like whether when she's dead, and now that we knew that she, you know, he had the Cadillac Cowboy looking, you know, watching her and all those other things. Like, what is Red's interest in Lucy Brooks, and who is Lucy Brooks, and who does she work for? Theories.
Yeah, that's a fairly loaded question. We've obviously established she's not Red's daughter.
No, we have not.
No,
we've obviously not established that. But go ahead.
Come on.
Go ahead.
Casually looking at her in the ground there.
All right. You're right. Okay, fair enough.
I think that I don't know. I mean, there's obviously so many competing interests. There's Apple Guy, but it doesn't sound like Lucy's connected to Apple Guy.
Yeah.
There's Tom's people. There's Berlin, whoever they are.
Whoever they are. Alan Alda.
Alan Alda. We don't know where Alan Alda lies. Could be either of those. Could be neither of those. Could be obviously Red's got his own cadre of people, but obviously she's not connected to that.
But I'm saying like the whole. And then there's my super secret blacklister to be named later.
Right, the Uber nemesis that hasn't come along.
The Uber arch blackest.
The Uber nemesis isn't.
Who someone's in the top five? Because when we get to the top five, that's when these are like
things are gonna jump off.
Yeah, those are the people that are
really Red is really mad at.
Right. I'm number 88, Ivan. Yeesh.
Come on, 88. He's a functionary. Like we talked about this weeks and weeks ago. Right now, we're going after functionaries. We're not going after planners. We're going after people who make things happen. Right. For the people who are making things happen.
Right.
So, I don't know. I really don't know. I think I there's like 5 or 6 different solid, different groups she could belong to. And we don't know at this point who it is. And she could belong to the same, she could be part of the same group Tom's part of. It sounds like she actually is.
Well, there is. Yeah, there is some like, you know, Berlin was worried.
Yeah,
you tell Berlin, you know.
Yeah, but why does he, then why does he kill her? That's the question. Like, why kill her? Is it because she pushed? Is it because he didn't try? So presuming that they work for Berlin and that they work for the same agency, why did he kill her? Did he kill her because she pushed too hard? She showed up at the house, was too in his face. Yeah. Why did he whack her?
I have no idea. I need help. iTunes, YouTube, help us out on this one. We have no Twitter. Like, I have no idea.
We need a slide rule and a calculator, something, an abacus. We can't get to the bottom of this.
I'm very, very curious about that. So, so now, now that Lizzie knows and Red knows that Lizzie knows and Tom is, you know, as you told, you know, Tom did that explanation of, I'm glad, last episode, how he was talking to Jolene about, you know, how she, oh my God, she did this and someone bugged her house and she found my go box and, you know, this happened. And, I mean, he played everything pretty well. But now what's going to happen? Like, what's going to happen with Lizzie and Tom? This is still in theories.
My theory is that obviously Lizzie's going to have to play Tom and try to figure out who he's working for.
Right.
But that's going to get sketchy because then there'll be those, oh, I love you. Okay, you're going to work. All right, I'm going to go sneak around our bedroom now and see if I can find some things.
Yeah.
And so she's going to sneak around the bedroom and that'll be suspenseful. And
they still got to like, they still got to do it.
They do still got to merp. They got to merp it up.
They
got to
merp like a mother merp.
Like a merp merp.
Like a mother merper. They... I don't know.
This is a grown-up podcast. We're adults, maybe. That's not going to, you know, that I love those. It's always fun to me when you get in these situations where both sides are completely playing the other one, and now the relationship is totally fabricated in the middle, and so everybody's playing nice, but nobody really likes each other.
Right.
It's interesting. It makes for good television. Yeah, so I mean, she's going to have to go digging around. He's probably going to give her a couple of near misses there. You know, we're going to have those over-the-shoulder shots where now that we know Tom is sinister, so she's going to be able to respond to the fact that Tom is sinister all the time. She'll be always freaked out when he's coming up behind her. Mm. There'll be all that. I don't know where they go. I mean, we got to milk him, right?
Right.
Try to find out who he's working with and what's the purpose, I guess.
Interesting.
What are your thoughts, Joe?
I have no idea. I have no real theories. I'm really at a loss. I'm just now just curious.
You're like a black hole of questions. You said this is our new segment, theories. You have yet to offer one.
Why? No, I'm not gonna say why. I gotta be.
Why? No, not even think about it.
No, I know. So yeah, I don't know, man. I'm just really perplexed by this whole Lucy Brooks thing and like, and everything else. So we'll just see how it plays out. Let's switch back over to the FBI and the case. I was kind of bored with the case. I mean, I was kind of bored with this because, well, we haven't talked about it and we're 24 minutes in, but let's get in this week. Let's cover it.
You know what I think happened in this case that was boring?
Yes.
They, you know,
I mean, am I right? Were you like, skeleton key, what's going to happen?
It didn't do much for me. And I think
part of the payoff is like a teenage kid stalking a girl.
I think, and did you feel, I empathize more with the kid than anybody else. I mean, I felt like, oh, well, you know, poor kid gave his grandma more Social Security. You know, that's right. Nice.
He's just trying to make a move. How is this any different from John Cusack and Say Anything holding the boombox up?
That's it, right?
Like, it's the same thing.
This shut down city and this stolen subway is my boombox.
It's my boombox. what was the song? Oh, in the Peter Gabriel joint.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Right.
Anyway. In yours.
Thank you.
Marissa Serafini. Best producer in the business.
Yes. If he'd dropped that on the iPad.
That'd have been it.
You know, I won't say
that'd have been the way to do it.
Anyway, so yeah. So what did you think of this?
I didn't I didn't get as invested. I think if they'd shot it a little differently, if you'd had a couple of ambulance crashes when the power went out, if you'd had people trapped in elevators, if you'd spent
No,
you have to up the stakes.
Right.
That's what engages us is when the stakes are higher. So they shut down all the power in Washington. All we did was we saw an aerial shot of Washington where the power was out, and we saw it on the super secret skeleton key computer.
Yeah.
We didn't see any actual ramifications of that.
That costs money.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So to engage us in this, and I know they probably
blew all their money on the airbag.
I think they blew all their money on the train. You want my opinion?
Yeah,
I think
the train the airbag,
that wasn't
yeah.
cheap. So you needed some extras wandering around outside, going, "What the hell? The power's out." You needed some people in the subway station. It wouldn't have been abandoned. That doesn't even make sense. You know, and the other thing is the other computer programmer, the girl that they were stalking, her dad, he didn't seem that he was all that devastated that his daughter was missing. You know what I mean? Like, that should be a panicked mess. And those are the things that they could have done to up the stakes, I think, on that.
I
think their focus was in another direction.
Well, I think I don't agree with everything you said, but I do agree that the stakes weren't high enough.
That's what I think.
So that's why we didn't care.
Yeah.
I don't know what they could have done to solve that. I don't know if they blowing up some more stuff would have done it for me, but like, I just feel like I didn't care. I didn't care about Ivan.
Well, I think I know why they did it that way too, because I mean, the way they had written the resolution,
right.
They had written it like we're gonna empathize with the kid. That was how the resolution was written. So if you amp up the stakes too high, then the resolution doesn't work.
Right.
You know, so I mean, if a busload of kids go driving off a cliff because there wasn't a light at the bottom of the hill to stop them,
right.
then at that point we're like, well, screw this kid. You know, but at the end of it, we were trying to get us to empathize with them. Yeah, I think so.
To be a sympathetic figure. We did get some cool Red Reddington lines out of this, though. We got a lot of some Redisms. We got the laugh. I know. We got a lot of that. His brother and I shared a lovely meal of jellied meat and a gallon of vodka while Ivan had his hand in my pocket. There's that stuff. Jellied meat.
I've never had jellied meat.
I've never been in Russia.
I am an uncultured screw.
I have had a gallon of vodka.
You have? I'm fairly certain I've had one with you.
Yes. Not with jellied meat. So yeah, I mean, there were some cool things. And then they had that little moment where he had to, they'd stage that thing with Ivan where they,
I like that. That was great.
That was a cool thing. And, where wrestler got to act dead with a little, blood pack.
Pop, pop.
Yep. And that was cool. And then they're on the private jet, and he's chatting them up.
I like that whole thing with Ivan. I like that he charged him $3 million in interest.
Yes.
And he, well, we're going to go, but we're going to go after you. I like the little talk about, the little thing about the iPad. Doesn't the fingerprints, doesn't that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's just more red business that he does.
Yeah.
iPads, man, you can hack. You can transfer 8 mil. If you're a really good hacker, all you need is an iPad. I'm an iPhone. What do you need?
You can do it.
Beep, beep, beep.
You can do
$8 million. Done.
Running from the FBI in the back kitchen of your favorite Russian bodega.
Okay. That's the new, like, that swipe, 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 punch, 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 send is the new.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on.
And we're there.
8 million.
Done.
Like, instead of just swipe, swipe, swipe.
Swipe, swipe, boop, 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 bop. Done.
Let's go. Swipe, swipe, swipe. I have the entire city. Hacking, TV hacking, and movie hacking has come right? a long way since
Meanwhile,
the days of war games.
I can't figure out how to make my Bluetooth home stereo system work for my phone to exactly. save my life. God damn it!
I don't know, man. So anyway, so that was a cool thing in the plane. So then he assesses that Ivan's not the guy. Ivan confesses he's not the guy.
That was good. I liked the way he did that. Yes. The actor was that when he's drinking that drink a little harder than he ought to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
So then they went through and did some our boy Aram who's our this name Aram right
the, I think so
the computer guy
seems right
did a lot of he had some intel about the bag and the airbag and was deployed pre-crash, which we talked about already. But then they found out that they traced the skeleton key to an old lady's house because the Social Security bit, right?
Yeah.
That's how they found him.
Was because
so he's using that to give his grandmother some more money.
Yeah.
Which is why we like him, right?
I think that's how they did it. I didn't follow it 100%, but it was the Social Security somehow or another.
And then that's how they caught him. They found he has a grandson, and that's what led him to the high school.
Right.
Where he's having a lunch. And,
That was an FBI WTF of epic proportions. Like, I don't know about you, but, if you're in your classroom and somebody comes to the door right. and there's one door in and one door out of the classroom and they say, hey, Joe, someone would like to see you in the office.
Right.
Then I know where Joe is. There he is. And he walks to the door and that's it.
Right.
There's no opportunity. Let's storm the barricades with the lights flashing, and hopefully we'll arrive at lunch where everybody's in the cafeteria and we'll blow the place up.
How about Wi-Fi? I mean, my man is like $8 million from the iPad.
So he's on the AT&T network. Is he on Verizon? I mean, what's he rolling on?
It was fast too.
So
that could have been on 3. That could have been 3G.
Could have been 3G. That was 4G LTE. No question.
I don't know. That's feeling like there had to be a Wi-Fi there. And even in the school, when he's running through and he's like beep boop boop beep boop beep, fire alarm like that. Is the school just Wi-Fi'd up?
Must be.
And then my man, we know that he had the cell tower going. So when he blacked out the whole city,
right.
He can do his thing still, but man, on the train underground, Wi-Fi was like full. I don't understand.
That's a very good point.
I just need to know the technology that's involved here with the skeleton key.
So you're saying
on the iPad.
So presuming that this all made sense, he was bouncing off of. I'm guessing there were cell phone boosters in.
Yes.
In the subway, because I think New York has them now, where you can use a cell phone.
New York has them. San Francisco definitely
San Fran has them, yeah.
L.A. does not have them.
No, because we're a little bit behind.
A little bit. We're way behind.
We dug a hole. We put a train in it. Yay!
It goes 2 miles.
Right?
Congratulations.
It costs $47 billion.
Congratulations, Los Angeles.
I love it. But so presuming they would bounce off the boosters in the trains, and that would go up to the cell tower, and then that would, loop back to the train?
I don't know, man.
I don't know either.
The skeleton keys, technology far beyond us.
Again,
us
I can't make my soma work.
Here.
So what am I talking about?
So yeah, so he does that. So we see that scene where they find him at the high school. He chases him down. He eludes them by doing the
beep bop boop.
Yep.
Beep bop
beep beep.
There it is.
That's an old David Spadeism. that shows my age too, because there is no sounds anymore. There is no beep boop bop boop beep boop. That just doesn't happen on your cell phone.
You're
on your house phone.
Old.
I'm old. So he does all that stuff. They lose him. Now, how a 17-year-old kid evades the FBI is beyond me, and they got called out on that as well. But they do eventually find him and bring him to justice, and Lizzie talks him down, which he's very good at doing, and the end.
The end.
Yeah.
Or wait, we've got a scene with Dad, or Red, I don't know.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Now, let's talk about it. You ready to talk about that?
I guess.
You don't have to talk about it.
I mean, it's just it's a waste. Okay, go ahead. Let's talk
about it. I feel we ought to talk
convince
about
me. It. Convince me why right now, you know, you and your minions, your Twitter followers, all of your people
I have
behind you,
I have no minions.
Convince me now.
I have no minions. I own all I
why,
have.
Why Red Reddington is definitively the father.
All I have is the truth.
All right.
Here's my question for you. And you, whatever. Do what you want. Okay. Now, let's presume that we're going to go, we'll presume yes. your side of this, that Red is not her father.
Right.
That he knew her father. Right?
Okay.
Okay. So he knew what the song was. Yeah. He knew how to hum it. He knew to find
They grew up together. My kids, they were buddies. I, you know.
So you're saying that, you're one of my best friends. I don't have any, whatever I'm humming to my kid before uh-huh. she goes to sleep, I don't think you know it.
Oh, yeah, I do. It's a small world after all.
all I'm saying is that was
just one moon and one golden sun, right? Swami's friendship to everyone.
Yeah. All I'm saying is that was very, very intimate, and he held her, and he's saying everything's going to be all right.
Yep.
And he's kissing her on the back of the head. Sure. That was incredibly paternal.
It was.
And
it does not mean that it's his father.
Okay.
You
tell us what you think, universe, please, on the YouTube.
Everything is going to be okay.
If you're on the YouTubes, you know, please let us know.
Or the iTunes.
Or the iTunes.
Or the Twitters.
Or the Twitters. Because YouTube, iTunes, Twitters, you can tell us, you can tell Joe Braswell that he's wrong because he needs to hear it from somebody because he's not buying it from me. That's all I got.
A, I'm never wrong.
Uh-huh.
B, whatever.
Well, presuming you're never wrong, Jolene is Red's daughter, and he just looked at her dead in the hole. Yeah, it's very casual. There
why does somebody got to be Red's daughter? Why does Red got to have a daughter? Why can't Red just be Red?
Red's not just Red. There was a fire. There was a kid. I'm telling you.
There was. That's right. We know that Red has a daughter. We know the ballet, and that's fine.
No, dancing, twirling. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. That was
very, very light.
March 22.
I didn't get a chance to comment on that scene. That was lovely.
That was lovely, wasn't
very
it?
Lovely, lovely, yeah. And I love Swan Lake. I love that music.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
So, I don't know. Okay, so there's that. I think that's it. I mean, what other questions do we have? I mean, we've covered Tom. We didn't cover, I did, one thing that stick out with me is my man Harold Cooper, man. I know he had something to do, like, when he got kidnapped a couple weeks ago. But, like, there's that sequence when they brief him on everything. This is what's going on, blah, 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 blah. So we're going to do this. And he has the same line every time. Do it. That's kind of it. So we trace this all the way back to this social security number. We're going to do this thing. Then we're going to run team to go there. But we have one thing we want to find out about this.
Do it.
Thank you.
Nairobi.
Thank you, Harold Cooper.
I'm not a huge fan, but I want him to do more. I want to have the episode where he puts his hand on someone's shoulder and is a human being and loosens his tie and say, yay. But he's so caught up in the uniform of his job as a performance that I never feel anything of the guy.
I mean, I think that he's underused as an actor. I think that like there's a lot of him and our girl the CIA woman.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah, underused. I mean, we talked about Wrestler earlier. I know it's a lot, and they've got 22 episodes to give people storylines, give people they did give Cooper a pretty fat storyline 2 weeks ago about the cover-up, and he had some moments in the Angelo Garrick situation where they stormed the black site.
Yeah,
but I just enough of him. Do it.
I get so tired of it. It's like a walking, talking uniform.
Yeah,
I want to hear a human being.
Right.
You know, and that to me, I get like that the pissing contest between the NSA. And the FBI when they're both at the junkyard there essentially.
That was kind of cool.
That was cool.
Like Dad shows up.
Right. And apparently it's a Tahoe or a Suburban if the director comes he gets an Escalade.
Yeah.
I know. GM upgrade, baby. That's how it goes. Works. I'm sorry. I'm gonna need the electronic system.
I did love that. That was good. That was something.
Yeah. And that was the good and strong and that completely makes sense.
And take care of his people. Are you guys okay?
Right.
Like Dad, help us.
But I want to feel
I'm
something
assistant
else.
I'm director Harold Cooper.
Yeah, who the hell are you?
Who the hell are you?
I want to feel something more. I just want that. And hopefully they'll give it to us and we'll stop whining about it.
And then Wrestler. I mean, we talked about this in the following. I hate to jump from show to show, but you know, the worst kept secret of the will they won't they is Max and
Max and Mike on the following,
and the second worst
and
is
Lizzie and Wrestler here
Lizzie
on
Black Wrestler. Like, do it already. Like, it's all, I mean, we know, I don't know. Like,
she'd come to the house, my girlfriend Tom is cooking. I mean, that's how, yeah, that's how exactly. It sounded to me. That was rough.
No, it was none of that, you know. And he's like, no, you guys, you know, you don't need a third wheel around, whatever he said.
You got someone to go home to.
Yeah, that's it. You have someone to go home to, unlike me. And she's like, aw.
His hair is on too tight. Yeah. You know, I think that some of the stuff that's missing from this show from
these guys. It's a good thing Tom is a psycho killer, because now this opens the door.
Oh, yeah.
For a wrestler to just slide right in
there. Have you seen my hair? It's very tight. What are we doing on Tuesday?
There's one person who's going to be super happy that Tom's a psycho killer. That's Wrestler.
That's Wrestler.
Yeah, it's the one guy.
Right? He's like, kapoosh.
Well, I can't wait for that scene when she tells Wrestler, Tom is actually a covert agent. Wrestler's like, damn, that's sorry to hear that.
That's terrible.
What are you doing for dinner?
Wonder if I might be able to give you a massage.
Right.
I want these folks to have more of the season wear on them. This right. is my want as an audience member.
Okay.
It seems to me that Wrestler, all these terrible things keep happening, right? Mm-hmm. But he still shaves the same way every morning, and his hair gets parted just as extreme. And I feel like they're not wearing some of the things that have happened already.
Right.
And I want them to wear them. You know what I'm saying? I think sure. It makes them more interesting television. If you know, if people are damaged, I'm more interested in watching.
Right.
And so there's been plenty of things that have happened this season. I'm sorry, to damage people, and it doesn't appear to be sticking.
Right.
Does that make any sense?
Well, that makes sense.
And I that's what I want.
All right. Well, we want the same things. Do we have any news and gossip? Do we? I don't know that we do.
I don't think we do. I think,
mean, I'm sure there's plenty to newsy and gossipy about, but I got to tell you, I don't have a lot of news.
Well, then let's jump into predictions. Well, hold on. Did you find some?
Well,
we stopped mid-drop. That's never happened before.
Wow. Stop mid-drop.
Stop mid-drop.
Don't do that.
No. What do you got?
I was going to just give some shout-outs.
Do it. But, tickety-tickety.
My internet does not want me to do that. So this is riveting radio. We're going to wait for this to load. Joe, what did you do last night?
If you're listening to us on iTunes, we appreciate you downloading us on iTunes. And if you are doing so, we love a certain rating. There's a certain rating we think is the best one we can get. And, Joe, what rating is that?
Maybe fives.
It's fives. I think we like fives.
But we also appreciate all of your comments and everything else. So we appreciate it.
Amen.
What happened there?
I'm not sure.
Oh, that's me. Okay, here we go. All right, so... comments, people, YouTubers, Terry Pitnick, Tickle Tea Lady, of course, Ruben Carpenter, PXT News and stuff, Evine Bazid, Caitlin Kelly, Katie Lynn, I'm sorry. Is it Katie Lynn? Yes, Caitlin Kelly. Super October 71, Kyle Burrell, Melina Torres, Baby Girl 1920, Doris Maynard, Sasu 1 2 3 4 5 6 7 times one, who's listens to us on a couple things. Danielle Brown, King Sport Cal. All right. And my evil twin brother Bart J. Braswell.
Yes.
He's I don't know about that guy. That guy's kind of shady, that Bart Braswell, but
I don't trust him.
I don't know.
I wouldn't leave him alone in the garage with my dog.
I love that Bart Braswell has been showing up on our feeds lately. So thank you all for listening. We really appreciate you. Now, Joe Flippo, Uncle Flippo.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about Uncle Flippo.
We didn't talk about Uncle Flippo. We hit it a little bit. The Uncle Flippo was the instrumental thing.
Right.
That's how Lizzie figured out that it was Tom.
Yes.
Did we mention that?
Yes.
And we did.
And you called John
that's right.
Bokenkamp,
we talked about it.
And told him to
yeah.
write that in.
Yeah, and he
said no, but then it showed up.
And then, what the hell? Where's my writing credit? And where's my doll?
Uncle Flippo.
Uncle Flippo.
I'm going to get one of those for you. Okay, so predictions. Okay.
Now the drop.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, here's my prediction, Joe Braswell.
I'm ready.
Are you ready for this?
Joe Flippo.
Red Reddington
uh-huh.
is Lizzie's dad. That's my prediction.
Hot.
And it's hot take from episode 2.
Hot
so that's my prediction. I think it's going to come out. I think it's, like I said, it's going to be an Obi-Wan Kenobi from a certain point of view, yada, yada, yada. I couldn't tell you. You weren't ready to hear it. And blah, blah, blah. I think that's where we're at.
Right. I think that Tom is not there to kill Lizzie. I think Tom's not there to protect Lizzie. I think Tom's there is to watch Lizzie and maybe use her as leverage to get to Red, because we know what Red means to Lizzie, even though it's not his daughter, because, of course, it's not his daughter.
Oh.
That's my prediction.
That's a good prediction.
I don't know.
All right.
All right. That's it. Where can we find you? When Nando Velasquez is not here, you can find him on Instagram and Twitter at Nando Vel. You can find Julia Kearley on Instagram and Twitter at Julia Kearley. You can find Joe Sanfilippo
on the Twitters at Joe Filippo, JoeFlipo, and on my website is josephsanfilippo.com.
And you can find me, Joe Braswell, on Instagram and Twitter at Joe K. Braswell on both. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tweeting. Thank you for commenting, downloading, and all the things you do. We'll see you next week for episode 718 of The Blacklist. And that's it. We're out.
Boom. You need...
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.